Last Sunday night, we read an incredible story of God appearing to Moses in a burning bush. From within the burning bush of the wilderness of Midian, Moses, now 80 years old, two-thirds of his life gone, but God had something new for Moses, and he had something for his people. An unbelievable, almost unbelievable, and certainly an incredible story, an overwhelming appearance of God to a man. Moses was on holy ground, and he knew it. Moses was at a place he had never been before. He knew it not only from the burning bush that did not burn up, but he knew it from the words of God Himself speaking to him. Moses was on holy ground. I'd like us to think for a moment tonight about what it means to be on holy ground. We do have a song in our hymn book. We sang it last Sunday night. We are standing on holy ground. I know that all of us would like to think every moment that we're at that place of sensing holy ground in our lives. But we also know by faith that God's Spirit is with us. Every single one of us have an opportunity to live every day on holy ground before God. We don't take that for granted. And I say, as we read this story and think about this story, how important it is for us to constantly be reminded of the holy ground that we live on. God's Spirit and God's truth and God's voice is alive and active today. God promised His Holy Spirit to teach us every moment of every day of our lives. We are on holy ground. There's several. This is one of, to me, the many early miraculous stories in the Bible that remind us of the holy ground that we live on and that we see it played out throughout the Bible. I think of some of the stories that we looked at in the book of Genesis, the story especially of the flood and the power of God and how He came and He talked to a man named Noah, and He gave him a mission. He gave him a call, and how Noah lived that out. And then later, God came down and confounded the languages of the people into nations and languages. And then He talked to a man named Abram and gave him incredible promise of descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And then how He allowed Sarah, this 90-year-old woman, to have a son, to give birth to a son. There really are a lot of miraculous stories in the New Testament, in the book of Genesis. And then we come to the book of Exodus, and we have this incredible story of holy ground. This one of a burning bush, to me, is unique and precious in many ways. Number one, when I read and I think about this story of the burning bush, I hear something from the heart of God in His conversation with Moses. We hear that God says, "I have heard their cry. I have heard the groaning of my people." This story reminds me that God does know where we're at, and He knows where His people is at. Last week we talked about how God knows us individually, but also God knows His people. God knows the church. I think about the Old Testament Israelite people. They were what we think of as the church of the Old Testament. God knew His church. God knows the church today. He knows where we're at. He knows who we are. He knows what we may struggle with. And so I'm reminded when I hear this story that God also knows us and loves the church. I think of all the scriptures that talk about the church, how He loved the church and gave Himself up for. I also think about the story here of how God remembered His covenant that He made with Abraham. He says that, I remembered the covenant. God remembers. He remembers His promises and His work over time. And so He chooses this 80-year-old shepherd. "Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground," God says to Moses. And each one of us, as we think about that story and think about who God is, we're reminded of the call to take off our shoes and enter into holy ground. Every time we read the scriptures, every time we come before God, to remember what holy ground we live on. And we have the great privilege to sense and to seek God's Spirit in holy ground. Last week we read this verse. "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. It's the last verse we read in the text. Now it's time. God's called Moses, and it's time for him to go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Well, tonight I want to move on in the story. We really just looked at half of the story of the burning bush last week. Now we're going to look at the second half. The first half of the story of the burning bush is really God's appearance to Moses and God's words to Moses out of the burning bush, and Moses humbling himself before a mighty God. And then beginning at verse 11, we kind of have a second half of the story, and I think that is powerful too, and it's the part of the story where Moses responds to what God has said to him. Moses now has a time and a turn to react to this news of God sending him to Egypt. Tonight we move on to that second part of the story and Moses' response. So far, Moses has been listening. He's been taking it in. But when God said, "Now go," Moses speaks for the first time. So let's read that together. I'm going to read kind of the long part of the story. Beginning at chapter 3, verse 11, I'm going to read through verse 18 of chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt and you worship God on this mountain..." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God has also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a three-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in our house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians." Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took the hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff into his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that you may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses says, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." And the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs. These words tell us how Moses responds to the call. It's actually a long reading and a lot of things to this story, but for tonight I want to focus on what does Moses say about the call? How does he respond to God calling him to the task that he is giving him to do? Well, the first thing that I would say about Moses in this story is Moses kind of had the attitude in the spirit, me? Not me, God. Why me? Don't choose me. Moses in this story is very human, probably feeling like all of us would feel, any of us would feel in the circumstances that he found himself in. His reaction is, no, you got this wrong, God. Surely you don't mean that you want me to do this job. Moses is utterly overwhelmed. He's utterly afraid. He feels inadequate. He feels unworthy. He feels insufficient. He knows that he can't do what God has just told him needed to be done. Imagine as he looked back over 80 years of his life. First of all, he's 80 years old, and he looks back to his first 40 years in Egypt and how he left a murderer, and then he spends 40 years pretty much almost alone in the desert, and then God calls and says, Moses, I want you to lead 3 million people out of Egypt. Imagine how Moses must have felt. Imagine how you had felt. Last week I kind of teased John. He's 80 years old. John, you ready for the task? Just imagine what it would be like not only just to go back and to confront Pharaoh, but then all that's going to come with that, all the pressure from Pharaoh, the pressure from the Egyptians, the pressure from the Israelites. I mean, Moses' job would never be easy. Moses would spend the rest of his life struggling, trying to do what God called him to do. If Moses just would have known what was ahead, I don't know if he would have said more reasons why he wasn't the right person for the job. But the reality is God called Moses, and he knew that God called him. I mean, Moses knew absolutely that God was calling him for this task. Whether or not Moses felt like he wanted to or he could, that's a different story. But he knew that God was calling him. Moses had, obviously, a lot of self-doubts. He doubted himself. I don't know, Moses might have doubted God too. God, are you sure? God, surely you're not thinking this through quite well enough, God. You're wrong about this. I'm not the one for the job. And you hear in Moses almost a desperation for what it is and why it is that God has called him more than perhaps more than anything else in this story is Moses' example of humanity to us and how he felt and how he dealt with the call of God, but also how the power of God can overcome our inadequacies and how God was able to use Moses. I mean, Moses wouldn't have seemed like a good candidate to me, but he was to God. God knew the potential within Moses. God knew what was going to happen. God knew every turn and twist of the story as he went back to Egypt. And truly an incredible story with a lot of practical lessons, maybe for the church today. Well, why do we say yes or no to an opportunity to serve? When I think about this story, and of course it's been on my mind for several weeks and last week and this week, and well, what practically do I get from this story? What does it say to me? Well, one of that is the question that comes to my mind, why do I serve? Why do I serve God? Why do I do the things that I feel like God wants me to? What's the motive of my heart? And the question for us maybe is, why do we serve God? Why is it that we serve God? What is it that God wants from us? What kind of attitude, what kind of spirit, what kind of response does God want from his believers? Does he want from the church? What is our motivation about being available for God? How important it is that Moses in this story brings up that question or is that issue. Is it because we're adequate? Is it because we have enough or we're good enough that God wants to use us? No, we know that's not true. God wants to use us because He's the one that empowers. He's the one that equips. He's the one that can take our lives and make it into what He wants it to be. And so when we think about serving God, all our songs at Brad Joe's were pretty much about serving God. What's our attitude toward service? What's our attitude toward when there's a job to be done in the body of Christ in our lives, when it really is hard to do, when it's not easy, when it's a matter of a servanthood? How quick are we to serve? Do we have to be prodded? Do we have to be begged by God? Or is there something inside of us that responds to God's voice when He gives us an opportunity to serve Him? Now, Moses was suddenly confronted with some pretty big decisions. I mean, this is quite a big decision for Moses to be confronted with the power of God. And so Moses reacts. He responds to God. God comes and He lays it out. This is what I want you to do, Moses. And so this chapter, his response. I want to summarize these words tonight, five responses that Moses has about being used of God in this story. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but I'm going to characterize five responses of Moses to God calling him. And I'm not bringing it up because I want to be hard on Moses. I'm bringing these up because they speak to me about my heart and my attitude. And we can be pretty hard on Moses. I read several commentaries on Moses in this part, and they all said the excuses of Moses. You know, like, oh, Moses, what a weakling, you know? But the truth is, where would we be? Where would we be? And what does God say to us? Every scripture has something to say to us. What does God say to me about my heart and my attitude? Sometimes we can be hard on Moses, but too often I have to say I feel a lot like Moses did. I do now. I have a lot of feelings sometimes, and they're a lot like Moses expresses. So I need to learn from this story. I need to learn from the story. And I see in the body of Christ the same kind of thinking, the same kind of response that Moses had. Sometimes I think the church and our attitude towards serving, and sometimes we go back, do real well to come back to this story and think about what did Moses deal with and what do we deal with. So I'm going to list these five, and then I'm going to look at them individually tonight. Number one, what does Moses say? He says, I'm not qualified. Number two, they will not believe me, or I don't know enough. Number three, I don't know enough. And then they will not believe me. Number four, I am not eloquent enough. And number five, send someone else. These are the five. And each of them have something to say to us. We're going to start with the first one tonight now. I'm not qualified. That's what Moses says to God. God, You called me, but I'm not qualified. I can't do it. You know, Moses was right. He couldn't. Moses was so right about that. He couldn't. The truth is, we can't do it on our own. We can't accomplish the kingdom of God by ourselves. So number one, go on to that next one, would you, Andy? He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's what Moses says. God, who am I to march into Pharaoh and so, Pharaoh, let the people go. I'm not adequate enough. I'm not qualified. I'm not trained enough. I don't have the talents. I don't have the ability. I don't have the experience. I don't have, Lord God, what it takes. Who am I? Have you ever felt that way? Ever felt like you're not up to the task? If you feel that way, you are not alone. You're not alone at all. Moses felt that way. I want to see how God responded to Moses. God said this, I will be with you. You know, when we feel inadequate, we don't feel up to whatever it is that's out there, we're reminded that God is with us. God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses would not be alone when he went to confront Pharaoh. Moses would not have to depend on his own mental abilities and his own strength. God said, I'm going to be with you, Moses. Every step of the way, I'm going to be with you. Every time we serve, whenever we're doing whatever God calls us to do and lays out for you, we know that God is with us. I will be with you. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites? What right do I have? God was saying to him, because I am with you and I am going with you, Moses. The second thing that Moses says is, I don't know enough. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough, again, skills. What if they don't believe me, Moses says, or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Moses is speaking there out of his feelings of inadequacy. Well, what if the people don't listen? What if they don't respond? What if they don't believe that you sent me? Then God says to Moses, to this second reason, he says, Moses, what's in your hand? What? It's a wooden staff. He's been using that for 40 years. What's in your hand, Moses? And God says, throw it down. He throws it down and it becomes a snake. And Moses is shocked as anyone. He backs up from it and God says, now go pick it up by the tail. And he does. God says, Moses, you have something right there that I give you that will be that will cause you to be able to do what I give you to do. God's saying, I equip you, Moses. I give you what you need. God will give you what you need to serve him and honor him. God calls you to something, he will equip you. What is in your hand, Moses? You think of what the rod of Moses became and meant. What it meant to Moses, what it meant to Aaron, what it meant to the Israelite people, what it meant to Pharaoh. It was the power of God, not the power of Moses. God was saying, Moses, I give you the power. I give that to you so that you can do the job that I call you to be. What is in your hand, Moses? Number three, they said, they will not believe me, Moses says. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, I will be with you. The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is his name? Moses was saying, how do I tell them who you are, God? God, what if they don't believe me that you sent me? What if they don't believe me of who you are? And God simply says, you tell them, I am who I am. They will know what that means. I am who I am, Moses. I am. God responds, I am who I am. Moses, I am here. I will speak to the people. I will show them who I am. So Moses continues to negotiate with God. But God, I don't know enough. I'm inadequate for the task. What if they don't believe me? So number four, he says, Well, God, you know I'm not eloquent enough. God, I can't say the things that need to be said. He knew he was inadequate. Moses said to the Lord, I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses, all these things inadequate about himself. And how does God react? How does God respond to him? The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So God says, Moses, I made you. I know how you're built. I know how you're wired. I know what you're good at. I know what you're not good at. I made your tongue. I made your ears. Moses, I will help you to speak. I will teach you what to say. God was saying, Moses, I will give you everything you need. I mean, Moses, all these reasons, all the excuses, God's saying, Moses, I will give you what you need. I will help you to have so that you can fulfill the call that I've given to you. I notice these first four about Moses are about his feelings about himself, inadequate. Again, but God responds with patience. God responds with insight and he says, Moses, I'm going to be with you. Moses, tell him who I am. These four reasons that Moses gives. And I think, would that be any different than any of us when we face a task that seems much bigger than us? Probably not. We'd be negotiating with God too. Why? God, I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. And to each of those, God is patient. And God says, Moses, I'm with you. I will give you what you need. I will show you what to say. I will be with you. And then we come to the fifth excuse of Moses, or the fifth thing that Moses says here. In verse 11 of chapter 4, it says, "But Moses said, 'Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Please send someone else to do it.'" You know what happens? God gets angry. Why is God angry? Why? What's the difference in number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5? You know, the first four things are about inadequacy, but number 5 is a little bit different. Saying, "God, I don't want to be what you want me to be. God, would you send someone else to do it?" God doesn't like that. It makes God angry. I think of the times in the scriptures where God gets angry. You think of the times when Jesus was angry. For example, in the temple when the people were being taken advantage of. And here God is angry when Moses says, "Would you send someone else?" Is it that at the heart and the core of that attitude and that spirit, when we say, "God, choose someone else," we're walking away from the authority of God. God is angry at Moses. It says the Lord's anger burned against Moses. It doesn't appear that God's anger lasted a long time, because we go right to the next verse, and God, his anger burned against Moses. And God said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite?" So it's not that God said, "Okay, Moses, I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. You've messed up. It's over." But he was angry at him. You know, I think of God and how God sometimes can chasten us and speak to us and confront us and help us to learn. But his anger doesn't last forever. He was patient with Moses. Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." I'm going to make a confession tonight about one job that I do. I don't always like every job that I have to do, just like you don't either. There's some things we do because we need to do that. I have several responsibilities that I do as a pastor, and I do on the district. Some jobs are just more pleasant than others. Well, one of the jobs that I have, and some of you know, is I'm responsible to schedule missionaries for the district. That means that I ended up having a lot of correspondence with missionaries around the world and pastors. And I'll just tell you how I feel about it. It's a job that I really don't enjoy very much anymore. The reason I don't enjoy it that much is not because I love missions, because you know I love missions, but it's just that people sometimes don't take care of things and follow up. So I'm always calling and leaving messages and kind of trying to make arrangements for people, and then people don't carry through that. And it's very annoying to me sometimes. And I find myself being frustrated about that job a lot. And a while back, I kind of, in my heart, said to God, "Would you get somebody else to do this job?" And this story came to my heart. And I felt like God said, "Wayne, you're in that place, and I ask you to do it." I realize that we don't serve because it's always easy. We don't serve because it's always convenient. We don't serve because it doesn't mess up our lifestyle sometimes. That's not a big deal, but that's a little deal in my life. We serve because we love God, and God calls us to have a heart that is serving him. There's something about me saying to God, "Would you get somebody else to do that job?" that I felt convicted about. So when I thought of this story and we came to Exodus, I needed to share that with you tonight. So God was angry with Moses. But I see also that God offered Moses a way. God was angry with Moses, but God said to Moses, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite?" And God says to him, "Moses, Aaron's already on the way to see you." You know, God knew about the excuses of Moses before he ever presented them. God knew the inadequacy in Moses. He knew the weaknesses of Moses. And God knew ahead of time that Moses was going to say, would you send somebody else? God knew what Moses would do, and God was already working and bringing his brother Aaron to be with Moses. So God, when I think of this story, I think about, what about your brother Aaron? God was shaping Moses. God was shaping Moses throughout his life. I'm sure the first 40 years in Egypt and the second 40 years in Midian, and now from here on, God is shaping Moses. And I think how true it is that God is shaping us. God is using the circumstances. God is using the things that happen in our lives. God is using the people and our experiences in shaping us into what God wants us to be. The question is, are we willing to be shaped by God? Are we willing to be taught by God? Are we willing to allow the potter to shape the clay? God was working with, God was shaping Moses. I would say also that God was patient with Moses. I read each of these things that Moses said, and I think about God and how God looked down upon Moses or spoke to him out of the burning bush, and how easily God could have been angry at Moses a lot earlier than this, but God was patient. He answered his questions. We never have to be afraid to ask God. We don't have to be afraid to tell God what we doubt and what we think about. God was patient with Moses. But we also know that God's patience was wearing out. Moses was coming to that place. And Moses would several times in his the next 40 years wear out the patience of God. And interesting, I was looking ahead in the book of Exodus at the conflict between Moses and God. You might think, well, Moses did everything right from then on. I mean, God got him and he finally did what was right, but no, Moses stumbled a long way. In fact, two chapters later, it says that God was going to kill Moses. We'll come to that story. God was going to kill Moses. So it isn't that Moses just got it all right and everything went great with his life, but God was working in Moses' life. Moses needed to remember the power and the wisdom of God. And Moses was at that place in his life, 80 years in, that he needed to say, yes, God, I trust you. I know that you're able. I know that I'm not. I know that I can't. I know that I'm inadequate. But I know, God, that you can help me to be everything that you want me to be. Moses had to come to that place in his life that he saw that and he felt that. It says in verse 17, he will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. And verse 17 says, but take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. At this point, Moses finally came to the place. I've been kind of hard on Moses and the excuses that he came and how he made God angry. But then Moses said, yes. He came to that place and he said, yes, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And so Moses got up from there and he went to his father-in-law and he said, Jethro, it's time for me to go back to my people. And so Moses begins that journey back to Egypt. Several stops along the way, several stories that take place as he heads back to confront Pharaoh, but he's come to the place in his life through all his mistakes, through all of his inadequacies that he says to God, yes, God, I am willing to do whatever you call me to do. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for this story of Moses and, Lord God, your call on his life. We think about this burning bush and think about how impossible this call must have seemed to Moses. And Moses had to go through each of these things that he felt. And God, he poured out to you his heart. And each one of them you answered with your promises and your word. And Lord God, that you are able to give us strength for the day. And strength, God, for whatever it is that you lead us and you call us and you guide us to do. I pray that we would know that we can trust you, that you are there with us. Lord, you promise always to be with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. Help us to feel that tonight. I thank you for the story. I thank you for the journey. I thank you, God, for your patience. I thank you, God, that you call to each one of us to be available to you. I think of that song that we sang earlier, take my hands, take my life, take my tongue, take my will, God, may it be yours. Help us to know what you call us to do and how you call us to serve. Help us to have the attitude and the spirit that's pleasing to you, I pray. Thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. God, keep us close to your heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here.